Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We pray now that the same spirit that inspired it to be written in the first place will teach it to our hearts. So give us ears to listen, minds to understand, and hearts to receive from you. And we do praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The setting to this psalm is a great danger. What a great danger. It could be, and it could be, that the people who are gathered together are an army. And an army surrounded by its enemies, an army that's under siege, hard pressed on all sides. And as well as the very clear and present danger from the outside, it's also from under threat from within as disease rampages through its ranks. And in the midst of that serious life-threatening danger, the psalmist points us to dwell in the shelter of the Most High, to seek rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91 is a psalm that reassures us that however bleak our circumstances might be, whatever dangers we find ourselves in, however real the difficulties we are in, we have a God who guards and protects us. We have a God who answers and rescues us. We have a God who cares and loves us. In short, we have a God in whom we can place absolute 100% trust in day and night. And what I want to do for the next few moments, there's lots of things you could say about this psalm. There's a tremendous amount. But I'm just going to concentrate on three aspects of God's character through three little sections of the psalm. And I'm going to start thinking about the God who protects us, as we were talking about earlier, starting with those first two verses, verses 1 and 2. And it says this: whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The theme of protection runs throughout the psalm. But the basis of that protection comes back to God himself. He is concerned for his people and acts as a shelter, as a place of rest. It brought to my mind Psalm 23 when David writes, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It has that idea of under protection, the table is prepared in the presence of the enemies. A table, this, you know, it's an idea of thriving. This is a God who not only protects his people, but they ensure that a stressed, besieged people will find rest and recuperation. They will thrive under God's protection. They're not simply cowering under God's wing. They're allowed to grow, to develop, to be a people who are in greater spiritual condition than they were before they sought his protection. And the result is that we have nothing to fear. We don't have to fear the terror of the night or the flying arrow or the pestilence or the plague. It may well be that in battle many will fall and struggle, but we are still protected by the Most High. Sounds contradictory, but we have to live with that tension. Now, I know what many of you are thinking, because I felt it too. What about illness or suffering or bereavement or arguments or disagreements or any other things that we could stack up quite easily? God doesn't seem to be living up to his own hype. And yet just because we are protected by God does not mean to say that we're suddenly made exempt from all of life's problems and difficulties, pains and hurts. We still live in a sinful, broken world. We live in a world where pain and suffering do exist. We live in a world where the consequences of the fall are still being played out and will continue to be played out until Christ returns. Nevertheless, God can and does protect his people. He will not suddenly abandon us. We are not alone. We are never alone. We might feel it sometimes, but we ain't. We can be confident that as we face our problems, he will continue to stand with us every step of the way. He will provide us with protection and with comfort, perhaps when we most need it. A second aspect of God's character I want to mention is that he's a God of justice. Now, we can all be too easily glib about God's protection. What if we had to face deep-rooted problems in our past that have left deep scars on us in the present? What if we have had things happen to us in our past, in our life, where we've been left feeling hurt and vulnerable? We've been left facing a world that seems not to care and a God who seems not to have noticed us. It's hard. And we don't want to be glib about that at all. But take a look at verse 8. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. We may be looking out at a world that's seeking justice and none seems to have come. We may be desperately wanting justice to be seen and done in our own lives. We may be crying out to a God that does not seem to listen. But we can be assured that we have a God who is just. We may be in a world where justice isn't always seen and done, but God promises that justice will be done, because he will see to it himself. It is part of his very being. We can be confident that things that might have been done privately, things that might have been hidden and cause us so much damage, will one day be seen for all they are. And God himself will ensure and see that justice is done. He guarantees that the wicked will be properly and justly punished, that justice will be fully done and seen to be fully done. And finally, we have a God who answers us. Verse 14 onwards says this at the end of the psalm: because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. As individuals, we all acknowledge God and call upon him, and then he rescues us. This is a God who will rescue us from all danger. He will answer our cries for help, who will help us to live that fulfilled life, because he loves us more than we can possibly imagine. We have a picture earlier in the psalm of a mother bird caring patiently and gently for her offspring, covering us with her feathered wings. And that picture applies here as a mother responding to the desperate cries of her children. Our God is full of compassion, of love for us, his children, and because of his love, because of his compassion, he will listen and does listen to our cries. He will answer his children. But let me just leave you with one final thought, something about us and our love for our God. At the start of verse 14, you'll have heard, because he loves me, or more literally, clings to me in truth. It implies an act of faith or trust on our behalf. We trust that our God Almighty will protect us. We trust that the Almighty will show us justice. We trust that the Almighty will answer us. And in doing so, we are responding to the truth that we have acknowledged his word. We are responding in the knowledge we have of him and that he himself has given us in his word. And we cling to him because we cling on to the promises held in this psalm and in the whole of Scripture. So as we leave the building later this morning, have confidence in the God who protects us. Have confidence in the God who gives us and brings us justice. Have confidence in the God who answers our calls. Amen. Let's just be quiet, shall we, before we carry on. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a great protector. Thank you that you are just. And thank you that you call for you answer our calls for mercy. Thank you that you are God of full of compassion. Help us, Heavenly Father, where we have deep hurts, to call on you for justice. Where we find ourselves in situations that are difficult, that we call on you for our protection. Thank you that we can shadow and be brought to rest under the shadow of your wings. Heavenly Father, thank you that you don't just want us to just simply survive, cowering under those wings. That you want to see us thrive in your rest. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.